In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What he did and what he was going to do. Every firstborn son and every firstborn male animal was to remind Israel of what God did and what God was still going to do. What God did was slay the firstborn sons of Egypt and the firstborn of all their animals. This was the 10th and final plague that began the Exodus and set God's people free. Not a story at all. It really happened. The Lord instructed Moses and said to Israel, Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and lintel. I will pass through the land of Egypt, and I will strike the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. In other words, God was going to strike every firstborn of man and animal in all of Egypt, but he would spare the firstborn of Israel if he saw the blood of the Passover lamb on their doors. And that night, because of the blood of the lamb, God spared their firstborn. But all of Egypt was wailing, for their firstborn sons and livestock were shown no mercy. No blood, no mercy. When that fearful night was finally over, God instructed Moses and the people, from this time forth, every firstborn male of man and beast is to be consecrated to the Lord. And for every firstborn male child, a sacrifice is to be made. Why? So that every generation from that time forth would remember how God spared Israel's firstborn through blood and set his people free from Pharaoh. So that every generation would remember what God did and also what God was going to do. Because the Exodus, as great as it was only a type, a picture, a foreshadowing of what God was still going to do. He had promised to deliver his people from an even worse slavery, a slavery we ourselves feel and know. Slavery to sin and death and the demonic Pharaoh of this fallen world. God promised that he would deliver his people through one who is even greater than Moses. So every firstborn male was to be consecrated, to be a reminder of what God did and the salvation that he had worked, to be a reminder of what God was still going to do and the salvation that he still had to accomplish. Again, not a story, but history. For over 1,000 years, every single generation in Israel consecrated their firstborn males, looking back to the Exodus and looking forward to the day when God would bring his even greater salvation. And so it was that Mary and Joseph brought their firstborn male to the temple to be consecrated. And this is what we observe today, the purification of Mary and the presentation of our Lord. It was Simeon, righteous and devout, who first noticed the astounding thing that was taking place right before his eyes. He took the infant Jesus up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, for glory to your people Israel. My eyes have seen your salvation. Simeon knew that when he looked upon that little child Jesus, he was looking upon the fulfillment of God's greatest promise. What an incredible moment. They were consecrating Mary's firstborn son, remembering the salvation that God had worked in the Exodus, remembering the salvation that God still had to accomplish. And Simeon boldly announces and prays, Lord, this child is your salvation. All that you have promised to do, he will accomplish. He's come not only for Israel, but for the Gentiles as well, for all who will trust in him. The time is at hand. All the past has pointed to this moment. All the future is contained in this moment. God's salvation has come, and his salvation is this little firstborn male named Jesus. No wonder Simeon could look down at that little child and say, Lord, now you are letting your servant go in peace. Looking down at that little child in his arms, Simeon no longer had to fear his sin, nor did he have to fear death, nor divine condemnation, nor Satan, nor hell. For in his arms he held the one who is even greater than Moses, one who has come to set Simeon free, but not just Simeon, all people, to set you free as well. He does not come to give you what you deserve. Instead, he comes to take your sin upon himself and pay all that you deserve on his cross. He has come to take away the power of death, but the power of his own bodily resurrection extended to us and our bodies as well. He has come to take away all fear of standing before the judgment seat of God, for in him there is no condemnation, and no condemnation means not even a little bit. He has come to snatch us out of Satan's grip and out of hell forever, so that with Simeon, each one of us may pray, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to your word, for mine eyes have seen your salvation. In fact, we'll pray these very words in just a few moments, as we do every week. This prayer comes in our liturgy right after Holy Communion. And there's a reason for that. In Holy Communion, Jesus is handed to you, to each one of us, just as he was once handed to Simeon. And each one of us beholds God's salvation. On the night of the Passover, Jesus forever replaced the Passover and gave us something far better. Here, in his supper, he invites you to remember what he did and also what he is still going to do. What he did was give himself into death for you. He became your Passover lamb, so that by his death you might live. The lamb gives his flesh for you to eat, and his blood is sprinkled, but not on the doorway of your house. Instead, on the doorway of your body, his blood is sprinkled on your lips, so that the angel of death passes over you. God spares you from the wrath and wailing that is to come by the blood of his lamb. All this he did and does. He gives us his supper and says, do this in remembrance of me. Not only in remembrance of what he did do, but also in remembrance of what he is still going to do. What he is going to do, and in fact what he has started doing already, is that he is leading us to the promised land of the new heavens and the new earth. Just as Jesus was raised in his body, so we shall rise in our bodies. And just as we rise in bodies made perfect the whole world will be made new and perfect. You see, right now, we are in the midst of the greatest exodus of all. Not merely an exodus from this world to heaven, but an exodus that leads from this world of bondage into the new heavens and the new earth. So this morning, remember. Remember what God did and remember what God is going to do. And do not forget who you are or where we are headed, lest we end up living like slaves to this world when our Moses has already set us free. Lest we lose heart or our love grow cold. Lest we end up grumbling against God in this wilderness, forgetting who he is and where he is leading us. Lest you forget what he has done for you and what he will do for you. Not because you deserve it or earn it, not at all because of who you are, but rather because of who he is, because of what he has promised to do. Forgiveness of your every sin? Yes. The lifting of the curse forever? Yes. The end of tears and sadness and even death itself? Yes. The end of slavery to Satan? Yes. You see, the illusion is that we're standing still, not going anywhere, but in fact, we are moving, and we are moving toward a destination. As the scriptures say, behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. Which means that these bodies will be made new, this earth will be made new, the heavens, which we haven't even yet seen, will be made new. The promised land is already visible on the horizon. And like a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, our Lord Jesus is leading us all. His people of old, us, and people still to come, Jew and Gentile, stranger and friend, all who believe in him. He is leading us to an end, but really only an end of this age, not really an end at all. Rather, a beginning, a new creation, where God dwells with us and we are at peace with God and know nothing else. A new creation in which all God's people are gathered and we live together in harmony. Our eyes beholding his salvation as every tear is wiped away from our eyes. And for the very first time, you see with your eyes our Lord Jesus, still marked from nail and spear, the wounds that bought you. And for the very first time, your eyes meet his. What a future there is. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.